lively group today, huh? Well, Father, we do pray for this church in the name of Jesus and the people in it. We thank you for the grace that you have given us, and we thank you for the ambition that you give us for your kingdom. We give you glory that we look for your direction in our lives. We pray for our church and our community and our city, and we believe, God, that you will work with us in this last hour. We give you praise, God, that you will strengthen every single person in the church, that you will now open our spiritual minds to receive the Word of God, and we forbid any spirit from stealing the Word from us. Make the Word profitable to us, Lord. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to continue. We're studying the gifts because of the fact that I believe, from what I've seen in the last years, that the gifts of the Holy Spirit have been so abused in so many places. Now, first, I want you to get it into your mind that the gifts of the Holy Ghost is not to make you a spiritual star. Amen? If God gives you a gift of prophecy or a gift of healing or miracles or whatever, it's not to lift you up and make you known by the world. Every gift that we have is to make Jesus known to the world. And every gift that we have must lift up the Holy Ghost working in us, but the name of Jesus that he represents. Now, the first thing is the Holy Ghost cannot save anyone. What? No. The Holy Ghost's job is the administrator of the church, and he is the part of the Godhead that points people to Jesus and convicts them of their sins. But you see, apart from the cross of Jesus Christ, apart from his blood, there is no remission for sin. And so if people are pointing you in many other directions, and that Jesus is not the center of their messages and the reason for their messages, then it's all going to be in vain. Because Jesus and his blood sacrifice is the only way, by our receiving that blood sacrifice, that we can get into the kingdom of heaven. So, when God begins to move on a person for supernatural spiritual gifts, he doesn't want to give those gifts to someone that's going to abuse them. And in many instances, we see that so many times. I was reading a newsletter that I got just a couple of days ago. And the leader of this particular ministry, he was talking about a meeting that was held with him and this woman. And he said there was a man in a wheelchair. And he said that wheelchair was coming at him full speed. And he said the man was screaming, "Liar, liar." He said the people in the meeting, the elders or whoever was in charge, took the man and put him outside the meeting. And then he went on to lift this particular woman up and say she is a seer. The Bible really talks in the New Testament about prophets and prophecies, you know, not seers. And but anyway, she gave him a prophecy that he wanted to hear. And actually, that's all that was talked about as far as what happened in that meeting. And this is a group of people that claim to have a signs and wonders ministry. So what am I getting at? What I'm getting at is You don't put somebody out of your meeting. You don't just because they come in and they do something that's not in line. We're supposed to be catching people for Jesus. Amen. Now, I could see somebody taking the person and maybe taking him out and ministering to him and getting him calmed down, ministering some deliverance to him, leading him to the Lord if that's what the need would be, whatever it would be, and then you would see him reappear back into the meeting. I can see that. But you see, the gifts are to be used really and truthfully to build the church, not the personality. It's to build Jesus's church, not somebody to become famous because they see an angel standing behind somebody and then give their interpretation as to why that angel's there. That is not prophecy. But you see, prophecy has fallen to the degree in the Christian church, in America anyway, to the point that it's just really most of the time pure divination. And you have to really truthfully listen with a spiritual ear, with the knowledge of the Word of God implanted in your heart, asking, Jesus, is this of you? Now, the reason that you have to do that is because words are spiritual. In other words, words are either spoken under the unction of the Holy Spirit, or they're spoken under the unction of the unholy spirit. And both sides know that when words are spoken out into the airways, a spirit can pick those words up and make them come true. So this is why the gift of discerning spirits is so needed in the body of Christ today. To discern, was that word of God or was that word not of God? And you have hardly anyone in our country that can discern spirits in this day. It's not popular to be able to see into the spirit realms and to say this is of God or this is not of God. Now, when I came into the charismatic movement back in the early 70s, we had a group of men in Jacksonville that were very sincere about getting in touch with God, learning His Word, functioning as elders in His church. And I would say Dr. Fowler was one of those men. He was an MD up on the beach. He was a man that he and several others built Beaches Chapel when it first started. And Dr. Fowler watched over the sheep. He really did. And if a wolf came into the pen, he would rebuke them right out in public. He didn't play around with the things of God. Like when you read in the book of Acts, and the lady in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts comes in the midst of the people, and she says, these are the men of the Most High God. Listen to them, because they will give you the way to eternal life. That was true, wasn't it? Absolutely true. However, it wasn't being spoken by the unction of the Holy Ghost. There was another spirit operating in that, because the woman was a divinator. And the Bible goes as far as to tell us that this particular woman had handlers or managers that after she was publicly rebuked, those managers got very upset because they were getting a little bit of her money, you see, probably all of it, if the truth is known. But it was a spiritual thing that happened. And the Bible says spiritual things are spiritually discerned. And discerning of spirits is one of the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Prophecy is another gift of the Holy Ghost. A word of knowledge is a gift of the Holy Ghost. I went through that with you the last time we spoke. But a church has to work together in love in order for the gifts to move correctly. Because if you have someone that is beginning to think that they're superior because they think they have a supernatural gift, then that person can begin to move out and not speaking under the power of the Holy Ghost, but judging. You see, spiritual gifts are spiritually judged. And so spiritual gifts has to happen when Christians become mature. God is not going to give you a gift with you remaining a baby. You have to strive to become mature. Well, how do you become mature so you can get a gift? You do it through the study of the Word of God. Because if you don't have a knowledge, a working knowledge of the Word of God, you're going to miss it a lot. Because your feelings, your emotions, your mind, and the devil will all come into play when you're operating in spiritual gifts. You have to know the voice of God. And you have to know how to test the spirits to see if they be of God. And then you have to know when a word of God, for instance, is given, does it line up with the Word of God? Now, over the last years, I'm just taking the gift of prophecy just to make points as we start to get into study of these gifts. People want to know things. They want to know what's going to happen tomorrow. This is why psychics and fortune tellers are so popular. This is why people take money and give it to these people that will divinate the future for them. This is why you have to be very careful, because you want to know what's going to happen tomorrow too. Christians want to know, what is God saying about me? And you see, the Word of God is where we get our roadmap back into heaven. It's not necessarily through somebody prophesying over you all the time. Now, this little church, we've seen people come from the big churches that move in these divinating spirits. I've seen several just recently come through that were in financial problems and spiritual problems. And what they come to Miracle for is they want a quick fix. What they want is a word from the Lord. They want also a quick deliverance. In fact, not more than 3 weeks ago, a woman told me that came from one of those churches. She said, well, I was told I could come over here and get deliverance, but then I go back to my old church. Well, I said to her, well, now, if you have to come to Miracle Outreach Ministry for deliverance, why isn't your pastor doing that? She said, well, this is a special gift. Well, you know, if somebody can't see what's going on with you spiritually, you don't need to be sitting under those ministries. You really don't, because they're spiritually blind. It's like one of the churches locally, big one, told his people, I'm not going to tell you not to go to Lakeland revival. But if you go, be discerning. And you're looking at it and you're saying, just your expression of, I'm not going to tell you not to go, but be discerning, tells me that your people don't even know what the word discerning means. That's the way that's interpreted. So to be mature, it takes a knowledge, a working knowledge of the Word of God. And you have to start at the basics. You have to learn, what is salvation? You have to learn, how do people get the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Then you have to go and you have to learn, what is deliverance? How do people get deliverance? And you have to learn, step by step, line by line, what does the Word say about this? Because if you rely on what you feel, you're going to be wrong. You're not, I mean, you know, human beings, we operate in the realms of the flesh where we judge people by the way they look from the outside, like King Saul. People judged him. They said that he was head and shoulders over all of the people. And the people wanted a king like the heathen world. And the Bible says that when he came, he was head and shoulders over all of those people, and they liked him. He must have been a very attractive man. They liked him, and they said, he will be our king. They chose him because of his outward appearance. But I've seen some of the most homely-looking people in the whole world, with the greatest gifts in the world, with the greatest closeness to the Lord that you'd ever see in any human being, that would be totally rejected by the people in the body of Christ because of their outward appearance. You see, we have to learn that if we want the gifts, they've got to operate on the basis of what does the Word of God have to say about this. And if you go looking for a divinator, the devil will let you find one. I remember some years ago, there a lady came through our meeting, and there was just something that wasn't right about her. And so I sort of zeroed in on her and started watching her very closely without her realizing I was watching her. But what she was doing is she would call some of the people in the meeting and give them prophecies. And so finally, she gathered a little clique of people around her that depended on those prophecies. And she developed what I call a home meeting where the person's on the phone talking to them about, what does the Lord say about me today? And so they would just call her, and what is the Lord saying about me today? And she always had something to give them. She knew how to operate that gift. And the next thing we knew, she split the meeting, and some of those people followed her. And she started a home meeting. And then she even started a church. Well, toward the end of her days, we saw her out in one of the restaurants, and she asked me where our church was, and I told her. And she came, and she asked for prayer because she had a cancer, and she needed to be healed. And so I prayed for her for healing, and then she went out and had dinner with us afterwards. And this is what she told me. She said, well, you know, when I go to a church, she said, I come out of my body my spirit comes out of my body, and it goes around and it prays over each person in the church. Now, is that of God? No. Why isn't that of God? Well, because in witchcraft, that's called astral projection. That's also called soul traveling. And you see, she was a practicing witch. And what happened was, somebody came to me and told me that this particular woman had been a partner with a fortune teller before she claimed to be a Christian. So what was going on with her all of the years that she was ministering to so-called Christians, she was actually a fortune teller, divinating. God is not a divinator. And so people have come to believe that divination is the word of prophecy, and it isn't. I was ministering locally in one of the conferences, which was the last one I've ministered to locally, because afterwards I just said to the Lord, I said, unless you make me, I will not ever minister in this town in a local conference again, from the things that I was seeing there. But there was a woman there, and she's very famous, as a matter of fact. And so I was watching her ministry, and as she was ministering, I saw a half a dozen personalities popping up in her. One looked like R.J. Washington. Another one was Benny Hinn. Another one was T.D. Jakes. And on and on. Well, you see, now here is the problem with these kind of things. If you're going to copy somebody's ministry, and if you're a woman, and you go copy that person's, say you're going to copy Benny Hinn's ministry, you're going to have different parts of that aping that will look like a man. Because Benny Hinn is a man. T.D. Jakes is a man. So you'll take on some of their personality parts that look, that will make you reflect a masculine spirit. Now, the way the Holy Spirit would operate is, he will take you, and he's made you an individual. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Same eyes? No, we all got different eyes, different fingerprints. We've got different cell structures, the whole nine yards. We're all individuals. He will take your personality, and in the gift realms, he will begin to work with you to bring forth his word through your personality. This is why you can see somebody uneducated prophesying, and you might have to stand back and say, well, you know, the Holy Ghost is smart. That guy can't even speak good English, and I heard the Holy Ghost supposedly prophesying with him, and he's saying I ain't and all kinds of things. And you shake your head and you say, oh, I reject that. You see, the Holy Ghost takes you where you are at your level to train you to receive the gift of prophecy so that you can minister to those people that he brings to you. And people that he brings to you may not be people that would like me. And people that like me may not be people that would like you. So he uses the gifts according to your education. Now, that's hard for us to understand and believe, but it's the truth. I've seen it work over the years many times. And so you don't judge the prophecy by the person's levels of education. You judge the prophecies by the Word of God, the witness in your spirit. The Holy Ghost will witness in your spirit the gift. I mean, I've been out to meetings and seen the divinators walking down the aisles, giving people prophecies like popcorn. And I say, I cover myself with the blood of Jesus. I bind this up in Jesus' name. I forbid any devil to speak any words over me in Jesus' name. And you know what happens? They'll whisk right by me. I had a man one time come in from one of the churches, and he had a man with him that was a Satanist. And I looked and I could see this is not a man of God. And so I gave the preacher a prophecy. The preacher turned to the man that was his divinator and said, "Don't you have a prophecy for her?" Well, I just put my hand up and I said, "Oh, thank you for your blood, Lord Jesus. I just thank you for your blood. You see, God knows that he's got a word for me. He doesn't have to have somebody to tell somebody to give me a word, right?" Well, the man looked at me and looked at me, and then he closed his eyes, and then he looked at me and looked at me. And finally, he just shook his head, and he said, "I have nothing to say to her." Now, you see, words are very powerful. They're either given by the unction of the Holy Spirit or the unction of the devil. And so if I had just let him give me a word and say, "Oh, thank you, Jesus, for that word," then that is permission to the demon to bring those words into force. That's why prophecy is so important, that you cover yourself, you don't receive every wind and doctrine that comes down the pipe, right? Words are spiritual. If a prophet gives you a word of knowledge, then the angels of God will come and pick up that prophecy, and they will bring it into force because God cannot lie. Now, some of these modern prophets, they say, "Well, the reason that some of our prophecies are not coming true is because of you. You had doubt." I mean, have you heard that, brother? I've heard that, actually heard them teach that. Well, you see, God is God. God is not going to give you a word of prophecy that would put his sovereignty in doubt. He's just not going to do that. But for these prophets, so-called false prophets, to keep their positions, it's got to be somebody's fault, and it's not going to be their fault, and it can't be God's fault, so it's going to be your fault. And the reason that you came to them is because you had a problem that you wanted God to work out, but God didn't find any success with you because you doubted. Your doubt, your unbelief has absolutely nothing to do with it. Has nothing. If God wants to speak to you, he will give you a word of prophecy. And it will come true. It will come true, whether you doubt or whether you don't or whether you believe. The reason that you've had to come to someone is because you do doubt, because you don't know the Word of God. But you see the importance of the gift of prophecy is to build the kingdom of God. It's not to build the personality. And when you see some sparky person that everybody's running after because they can hear from God, I want you to remember the scripture that tells us that Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. A stranger they will not follow." He said, "My sheep hear my voice." And in the book of Revelation, whenever he's talking about the churches in the book of Revelation, the great falling away church, the Laodicean church, where it shows the great falling away, where it shows the people running after things and money and just like they are in today's world, instead of him. And there he is standing on the outside of the church, and the people are feeding the poor, and the people are there, and they're in church, I might add. You know, the false churches are doing very well. It's the people that are preaching the Word of God that are having a struggle in today's hour. Because the Bible says they will not stand sound doctrine. So there he is on the outside of the church, the great falling away. They're doing good things. They're in the church. They're in the wealthy church. But the Bible says that Jesus will give a call, "Come out of her, my people." And when he gives that call, who is he talking to? He's talking to people that are sitting under the false gospel, that have been bewitched, that love him. "My sheep hear my voice. A stranger they will not follow." And he's calling them, "Come out of there, my people. My sheep hear my voice." They will hear, and they will be led by the Spirit of God out of those places. But as those places become places that are deaf and dull of hearing, because the Bible says, "Ask me, ask Jesus, for asab, so that you can hear and see what the Spirit is saying." In other words, this is supernatural, friends. You don't follow Susie Q down the street because you like her. You don't follow somebody out of a church because you like them and they have influence over you. You go and fast and seek the Lord about these things. They're eternal decisions. Amen? Ask him, say, "Lord, open my eyes to see. I have to know. You said that you would be my teacher, Holy Ghost. Open my eyes so that I can see. Open my ears so that I can spiritually see." And when a false prophet or a false prophetess stands in front of you and they begin to speak, it will be like a bell out of tune. It will clang instead of ring. Amen? And so the Bible tells us that Jesus stands on the outside looking in. And that's where we are today, in the great falling away. I believe that. But at the same time, I believe that Jesus is going to form a bride without spot or wrinkle. Does that mean that he's going to form a bride that everybody is perfect? No. We all can't be perfect. The only person that can be perfect is Jesus. And so as he forms that bride, it will be a bride that totally receives Jesus, receives his blood covering over their sins. Every day the blood of Jesus washes you clean. Every day. Jesus said, if you sin, you've got an advocate with the Father. He said, just come and ask for forgiveness. Why does he do that? So your conscience can be cleared. So that the devil can't harass you and say, look at what you did yesterday. No, that's under the blood. I'm as white as snow. It's a group of people that will see Jesus. But Jesus wants to form a bride that's going to be able to take these people as he calls them out and be able to minister to them. And if you don't know your word, and if you're not close enough that you can discern through the Spirit of the living God, the personality, the spirit of people, and you just make judgments because you know there's really a witch. You've already learned that here. There really are witches. Somebody comes in and they look haggard, beat up, because the world has beat them up, and you look at them and say, well, there's a witch. That isn't the way it works. That might be somebody that just has taken a beating from the hands of the world, that with a little encouragement, a little word, getting the Holy Ghost in them, getting them healed, getting them saved, getting the basic principles of the word in someone can turn their lives around. But they come in and they're all crippled and they're not saved, and you go and lay your hands on them for healing and they leave and you don't know whether they're saved or not. That's just futility. They go back out there and get beat up some more. If you go out there and you're laying hands on people and they're getting healed and they're not saved, and you're not encouraging them to get into the church so that they can get good, strong Bible teaching, it's just futility, because it won't be long before that spirit will be right back in that vessel. You see, it's a spiritual warfare we're in. And it's prayer that keeps us under the blood and keeps us alert. That's why we have the Tuesday night prayer meeting, is to pray for the weak, to pray for the strong, to pray for the church, to pray for the city, that sort of thing. So spiritual gifts call for maturity. And I'm spending a lot of time on the basics before I get into describing how these gifts are supposed to operate. But they're not supposed to operate just because somebody can stand up and say, thus saith the Lord. Somebody's got to see, is this of the Lord? I told you, a lady came into the meeting one time, and she started giving out a word of knowledge or prophecy, and she sounded pretty good. And I'm listening to her, and at the very end, and she said, my children, do not be afraid to go to a psychic or a fortune teller. She said, I'm strong enough to protect you. And I said, madam, please sit down. I said, that is not a word of knowledge from the Lord. I said, God is not going to go against his word. And if it tells us not to go to fortune tellers and witches and psychics, I'm going to obey the word, and I'm going to warn my people that you are a false prophet. Right out in front of everybody. Now, let's just quickly, and I'm almost finished, go back to 16. We're not going word by word because I'm laying a foundation for you so that when we get into studying each gift and how they operate, you'll have a foundation, okay? But in the Bible, we see in the 16th chapter, when the divinating woman came on the scene, the Bible said that the prophets, the evangelists that were working on the scene, they watched her. They watched her. Why did they do that? Why didn't they immediately rebuke her? It says they watched her. Now, why? Well, because she was doing a spiritual thing. These were very powerful, strong men of God. Spiritual things operate in the spiritual realm, coming from the devil into a vessel, exactly like spiritual things coming from God. They come out of the spiritual realms into the vessel. And when they come into the vessel will react to what it's receiving from the spiritual realms. And this is why you have to discern to see if this be of God. You got to watch. When you see somebody moving in supernatural spiritual gifts, watch, pray, be listening, test the spirits. A spirit says, well, that's not of God. What if it is? What if you're wrong? Did you test it? Did you bind it? Did you do what the Bible says? Did you try to connect that word to the word? Because God is never going to go outside of his word. You see? Like that woman, she prophesied, but it wasn't in the word. So it was easy to rebuke because the word of God says don't go to witches, right? Don't go to fortune tellers. And so sometimes you have to intently, if you're an elder, and the word starts going forth, you have to just sit. And you don't have to stare at the person like a born a hole in the person. You just smile. You listen with your ear. You can seek the Lord. You can ask the Lord, where I know that didn't hit my spirit right. I got a witness that wasn't of you. And you can even go into another room and seek the Lord. I've done it many times. And he'll show you. You come back and he'll show you the truth. He's done it for me many times. So spiritual things are tested. This is what we've covered. They're tested by the word through your anointing and power that's given to you from the Holy Ghost. Test the words to see if they be of God. They're discerned. Listen. Does it add up? Does it hit your spirit as the word? Test it. Whether you think it's of the Lord or not, test it. Always test. I've tested the Lord many times and he never got mad at me for testing to find out that it was him. Amen. And then you have to make sure that you don't have a divinator in your midst. Because there's a lot of people that are taking those gifts that come down their family lines. Grandma was a witch. Grandma dies. Mother receives the witchcraft power. Mother dies. Daughter receives the witchcraft power, and a devil knows how to operate those divinating gifts. They do not have to be trained to do that. Christians have to be trained to operate spiritual gifts so that they can operate under the unction of the Holy Ghost and be secure. When God shows you something, you know it. Amen? And so spiritual gifts are spiritually discerned, and God will mature you, which there's very few people in American churches today that have been matured, unfortunately. When you go over to Canco's church, they have 48 ministers. Pastor Dennis and I saw them operating. They operate in deliverance just like we do here, those ministers. Exactly. They break the curses when the person comes into the church. They begin to clean the person out just exactly like we do here. But they're over there. How did they know to do that? Because the Holy Ghost taught them, and they have a love for the word. So they couple the word of God with the power of the Holy Ghost, and they're powerful. And they can clean the sheep. Amen? And so the word of God, the Holy Ghost is never going to go against his word. But the woman that was, and I'm going to quit with this, that was at that conference And remember, I told you, I said, Lord, I'll not minister at another conference unless you make me. So far, he hasn't. Thank you, Jesus. That woman, she got up there, and one minute she looked like RJ, another like different powerful personalities. And so some of you know Sabrina, some of you don't. Sabrina got up and walked out first, and she went out and sat by the books. And then I watched her for a little while, and I was just going crazy inside. I mean, I just couldn't hardly stand it. And then finally, I got up and walked out too. And it takes a lot for me to walk out of a local meeting because people know who I am, you see. But I said, I'm not going to sit here and take this. And I walked out too. The door next to our book table went pow. And this woman came running out with this other woman. And they ran out the front door. And then a few minutes later, that woman came back in. And she came up to us and she said, I just can't go home like this. She said, there's something wrong here. And I said, well, what's wrong with you? She said, that woman in there, she gave me a prophecy about when I was a little girl in Puerto Rico, this and that and the other thing happened. She said, well, she said, I'm Puerto Rican. She said, but I'm from New York City, and my mom and daddy came from Puerto Rico. I've never been to Puerto Rico in my life. And so she says, I'm confused. So we just laid our hands on her and prayed for her and rebuked the spirit of confusion and false prophecy off of her and asked God to put her at peace. And she said, I got to go get my friend. She's confused too. So she came in. We did the same thing. And the door kept popping open with people running out of the meeting. And we were sitting there ministering out by the book table while the divinating lady was in there giving these false prophecies up. And finally, this woman came out, and she had these eyes, and they looked like boiled eggs that were half popped out of her head. And this lady came up to me. By this time, we had a little crowd out there. We had a ministry going outside. And she said, I think she's got a demon. Look at her eyes. And so I looked at her eyes, and the Holy Spirit said, she's got a thyroid problem. And so I put my hand on her neck, and I rebuked the thyroid problem. Took my hand and put it on her eyes, and her eyes just sunk right back into her head, you see. And so another person got out of the wheelchair. Half a dozen or so teenagers came out, got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we were doing the Christian work of a church is supposed to be doing while the divinator is in there, fire on ya, fire on ya, fire on ya, that kind of stuff, jumping around like they do. And God wasn't in that. He was not in that meeting. But out there in the hallway, he was sending people in to us, and God was healing and doing miracles right there in the hallway of that meeting. That's the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But when you're working with, and I'm quitting now, when you work with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, if somebody comes and says, well, now, you know, that's a demon. You need to cast the demon out, and you don't know, and you don't have the voice of God working with you in that supernatural meeting or the discernment of spirits or whatever it is you need, you'll go say, I cast you out in the name of Jesus. And the person will walk out of there with the egg eyes. That's the truth. So spiritual gifts are real. I believe in them. I believe in miracles. I believe in healing. I believe in all nine plus the others in the book of Romans. And we're going to get into them, hopefully, next week. Amen.